but God. And it came from a couple of weeks ago when we went to Uncle Angus's gathering there in Bloemfontein. And I remember that one time he was just saying, what if something happens and it's the worst thing that you can think of, or something in your life that is not in place, or something that's wrong, and you're in despair and you're at a low place and you don't know what to do. And you add these two words, but God, behind that. And that inspired, and the Lord was working with me the last couple of weeks on this specific topic. And he was challenging me because, you know, when God is speaking to you about something specific, you get challenged on that. Something happens, things happen in your life that didn't happen before. Difficult circumstances come over your path that wasn't there the week before. So it's always, it's a funny thing, when the Lord speaks to you about something, expect something that's coming in that area, and he's preparing you. He's telling you something before because he knows there's something coming. I'm going to start with the first story. The Egyptians marched after them. Exodus 14 verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children of God cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us in this way to carry us out of Egypt? Bless you. Is it not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Exodus 14 verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. Just going to stop there. What's so amazing for me is, and I want to encourage you to come to intercession before, because the Lord, it's so amazing to see how the Lord speaks something there, and then it's in the sermon, and then it's in the worship, and then it's in the word that's coming to the front, and all those kind of things. Just to be able to experience God's supernatural working. And really, if you're afraid to pray, we spoke to quite a few people on this, and they said, but I'm afraid to pray before people. It's fine. Just come there and come in the presence of the Lord. Just come and just be in the room and learn from other people when they are praying, and see how God confirms certain things later in the service, etc. So I want to encourage you on that. Okay, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get myself honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten myself honor upon Pharaoh, upon the chariots, and upon his horsemen. And then the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp and the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off the chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon the horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hands over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right and unto the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. It's quite a long passage, but I wanted you to see what the Lord was doing. I didn't want any of those things that the Lord, how he fighted for them in that situation. Just to think back a bit. They saw the people coming. They saw the dust behind them. That is what happened at that stage. The people looked back and they saw there's a lot of dust. So the people of Egypt is drawing close to them. Okay? There was no open sea at that stage. And remember, it's a million people that had to move with all their belongings, with all their herds, everything. So if the armies comes with chariots and with horsemen, etc., they will overtake them in an hour or two. So at that stage, the sea was still closed, and the people was very afraid, and then they moaned and they groaned and said, "Moses, why did you take us out? Now we're going to die here. We're longing back to the food that we ate there." Even though they cried out to the Lord because it was so hard, the slavery and all those things. At that stage, they were full of fear, and they said, "It would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt." There's a couple of things that the Lord did here. There was confusion in the camp. There was a cloud that basically covered them so that the two groups couldn't get together. It was so dark there that the two groups couldn't get together. Okay? Another thing that happened is that the people, there was confusion there, and the chariot's wheels just started falling off. So then the people said, "But the Lord is fighting for them," because there was no enemy, there was no Israelite close to them, but everything went wrong in their camp. The Lord was fighting for them. Just to point out two things. Would you agree with me that this situation was almost a situation of a point of no return, a situation where there was no hope? Do you agree with me? They didn't know what the Lord was going to do, but there was no hope. They just saw these people coming and killing them there or taking them back in slavery, and they had no answers for that. But then the Lord started speaking to Moses. And he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." Okay? So he said to him, stretch out your hand, believe me, trust in me. So many situations in our lives we've got, it's a difficult situation, but do we trust the Lord? I'm asking you to think of your situation and think, do you really trust the Lord that He will come through for you? Or are you just in despair and just waiting for something to happen and just give over like the Israelites wanted to give over? Just said, moral of the story, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is challenging us not to fear. No matter what your circumstance is, do not fear. Stand still. And I think that standing still place is where you say, Lord, I'm praying to you now. I'm waiting for your answers. I'm communicating with you. I'm standing in a place where I'm just praying to you and asking. And the Lord shall fight for you. How many times do we try to fight for ourselves? We're trying to sort out the situation. There's a problem with somebody at work. Now you're trying to sort it out. Instead, I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Can't you fight for me? Can't you bring justice in the situation? Or can't you help me to handle it in a better way? Start praying about it. Stretch out thy hand over the sea. It's an act of faith. Sometimes there will be an act of faith that you need to do. Ask the Lord in that situation, do I have to do something? Is there something? Is it just prayer? Is it a physical thing? Do I have to apologize? What do I have to do? And then people feared the Lord. And I believe when people start fearing God and knowing that He's big, He's in control. Doesn't matter what happened in this country, God is still in control. He's still in control. He still knows what He's doing. We need to start trusting Him. We need to start fearing Him. And fear is also a place where you stand in awe because of how big He is. And start believing the Lord. The other story is a bit shorter, so I'm going to go to the second one. Woman having an issue of blood. And a woman having an issue of blood, there 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed. She did everything. She went to all the doctors, all the best doctors. She spoke to everyone. There was no answers. She didn't know what to do. She spent all her money. There was no hope for her. But then she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng you and press against you. And you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. That woman could have lost her life. Because in that community, they were very strict on things like a person being unclean. Okay? Because of a situation that she had, she wasn't supposed to be close. She had to be separated. But what did she do? She said, Lord, I'm calling out to you. I'm going, even though it could cost me my life, even though it could have costed me humiliation, all those things, she decided she's going to run to the Lord and she's going to touch the hem of his garment. She reached out to him. She didn't stay behind and say, no, maybe another day, maybe tomorrow. She said, Lord, I'm desperate. I'm coming to you. God is our healer. By his wounds, 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds, you have been healed. She touched the hem, the border of his garment. She reached out. She fell down before him. That is worship. She worshipped him. We need to come to a place where we worship the Lord, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what happens in your life, worship the Lord. Run to him, touch the hem of his garment. Come to a place where you want to engage with the Lord. And another thing, her faith has made her well. We need to have faith, but not faith in the fact of having faith. We must have faith in God, our King, and believe that He's a healer. Believe that He's someone who wants to heal you, who wants to take your sickness away, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's not just physical healing. He wants all areas of our life to be in place. Third story. And when he came out of the ship, immediately, this is now Jesus, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with his chains. So he must have been quite strong, or really strong. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked out by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. This man, who's demon-possessed, saw the King of Kings, and he ran. He didn't walk, he ran, and he worshipped God because he knew. Even a person that's in that situation, in that state, if God is coming to him, he would recognize him. If us as his servants would come and come to a person like that with authority, with God's authority, he would recognize that. He would know. And he worshipped God and cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you do not torment me." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many," many demons in this man. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there near the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So 2,000 pigs ran down. And the people at that stage said, "Lord, they saw this man afterwards. They saw this man and he was in his right mind. And they knew. Something happened. Something supernatural happened here." And on the other hand, 2,000 pigs wasn't there anymore. Okay? So I think they might have been cross as well, because the whole herd, everything was gone. But you must understand spiritual things here. Because when Jesus sends out a spirit, it must go somewhere. And because in that area there was other spirits that were strong men in that area, or strong spirits, in that area, those spirits knew they can't operate in that area. They had to be sent out somewhere, and it was sent out into the pigs. Just to understand why they were sent into the pigs. Okay? But this man who tore out chains, etc., the same man was in his right mind. And I believe a lot of people came to Christ because of that man, seeing what happened to him. And that he was changed by the power of God. just to finish the story. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. I think a fear of God came on them there, because they realized something happened here that was supernatural, that was not something that they've seen in their life before. Jesus is our mighty deliverer. We can't deliver ourselves of things in our lives. Only He can do that. And we must allow Him to do that. And something that stood out for me in the story, he ran and he worshiped God. He didn't wait there. If you've got something in your life that you need to be delivered from, don't sit and don't be kept bound in chains and wait there and walk around in the tombs as such. Run to Jesus and go and worship Him, and He will deliver you. He will set you free. Story about Abram's wife. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. As many, many people that I hear, we're battling to get children. We're battling, there's something is blocking it, something is stopping it. But just look to what happened to Sarah and Abram. Abram was about 100 years old. Okay, have you seen a guy who's 100 years old? Okay, have you seen a woman that's 90 years old? Our landlady is 86. She looks quite good for 86, but most people at 90 is not very strong anymore. And then the Lord gave him a promise quite a few years back. 40, I think it was about 14 years. He had to wait 14 years for that promise to come to fulfillment. So, desperate situation, no chance. No human chance that there will be a child. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. There will be kings from this baby, or from this woman. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child? When God steps in, miracles happen. Something that stood out for me is when Abram fell on his face. I'm not sure the reason why he laughed. Was it because he couldn't believe that it's possible? Maybe he was overjoyed of this good news that came to him. But what stood out for me, he fell upon his face before the Lord. Also a place of worshiping God and saying, wow, Lord, I can't believe what you are telling me now. This is amazing. Last story about sin and death. And God, and unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat it. Now listen to when sin came into the world. Look at the things that was proclaimed after that. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your lives. Before that, things grew. I don't think they needed fertilizer there in that days. I don't think it was necessary. I think the fruit and the vegetables that was grown in that time before the sin came into the world was amazing. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. but God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sin and death. There was death. There was no hope in the situation. And then Jesus came. And he changed it around. And all those curses was taken upon himself. And we can go and subdue. And we can, all the curses that was there, we can break it. Because Jesus, through his blood, made provision for that. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our salvation. Okay? We talked about healing. We talked about deliverance. We talked about salvation. He's our salvation. He's our Savior, the one who sets us free from sin and from death. I want to ask you a question. What must change on our side to allow for miracles to happen in our lives? I'm going to give you a moment just to think of what must change on our side to allow miracles and situations where there's no hope to change. What need to change on our side? So anybody who's got one, who's got an answer, who thinks he's got an answer.
We need more faith.
We need more faith. We need more faith. Anything else?
Trust. Trust.
We need to trust the Lord, yeah. We need to start trusting the Lord. Because if we don't believe that he will do it for us, he's probably not going to do it because he wants us to trust him. And I also think we need to start worshiping him for who he is and start believing in his names. He's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a savior. He wants to set us free. That's his nature, that's his heart, that's what he wants to do in our lives. I want to ask one or two people to maybe share a short story. Maybe something where something happened in your life, but God changed it around. Because it stirs people's faith when they hear other people's stories. All right, is there one or two people who wants to share a short testimony? Before I end off with a couple of scriptures. Anyone? Any?
So about a year ago, my father passed away, and my parents' finances never were 100%, and luckily I had a life policy, and it paid out. It wasn't really sufficient to take care of my mother for the rest of her life, but somehow, during the time that he passed, there was a grace period where a new life policy was somehow issued, which we didn't even know about. And what in effect happened was that this life policy was paid out double. And it was only valid for 30 days, that grace period, actually 14 days. And in that 14 days, my father passed away. So if he would have passed away 14 days earlier or 14 days later, he only would have had the one life policy. And in fact, both life policies paid out. And there is now sufficient care for my mother, which is an absolute miracle. So yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else with a testimony? Because I believe when we start sharing testimonies to our friends, to other people, that's when people's faith will be stirred. Because we said now our faith needs to be stirred. Our faith needs to grow. We need to have more faith. And if we don't have faith, let somebody tell a testimony of what the Lord has done. That we start believing. Is there somebody else?
Good evening. My name is Patience, and I'm very new in church. It's my second time. My testimony. My testimony is I'm a graduate, so I graduated social work last year, and I've been job hunting like crazy. Very frustrating process, and for a couple of months since January till now, and I started attending Home Cell 2 weeks ago, and last week I got an email. My first interview, job interview for social work in Stellenbosch next week. And I was in awe, and I just started praising the Lord because I've been praying and I've been crying and I've been pleading. And also I just, it's amazing to be or have support like from a family, like church and home cell or small group. And yeah, that's my testimony since I've stepped into an environment where I had leaders and sisters praying with me. Miracles happened. Yeah. So, yeah.
If that is not a way to tell people to get into a small group, I don't know.
Hi, everyone. I also just want to testify about this week. Well, it's been a few months now that we've also been looking for someone for our shop, and we've been struggling, and this past week I was just thinking, oh, if we can only get a senior person just to help take the workload off and everything. And by Tuesday, I was just like almost in tears, and my strength was just gone. And I came to Bible school, and I just felt so distant and everything, and afterwards, Uncle Harold asked me how am I, and then I told him, and he says, "No, let's pray for it." And he literally just prayed into the situation and prayed for the person just to come forward. And the next day we had an interview, and it's a senior bookseller, and he's starting next week. So praise the Lord.
God definitely answers prayers. Eh? We need to pray more. We need to trust more. We need to come together more and agree more. That's places like Home Cell. And get your friends together. If there's a situation, pray together. Because the Lord says, with two and more agree on something, He is there and He answers prayers. Okay, I want to end off with Hebrews 11, verse 6. A couple of scriptures. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is going to reward you if you seek Him, but you must come to Him with a place of faith where you trust Him. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do we believe that? That with God everything is possible. With men, it's impossible. Your situation might be impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed to another place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know how big is a mustard seed? Who's seen a mustard seed? Eddie, how big is it?
Very small.
It's extremely small. Okay. But maybe you feel your faith is smaller than a mustard seed. Just get two or three or four people together. I believe the faith together will be bigger than a mustard seed. If you feel that your faith is smaller than a mustard seed. The Lord says He's given every one of us a measure of faith. But if you feel yours is too small, get people together. That's why we pray together, that our faith can be increased, so that we can see that the impossible become possible. God has perfect timing. He's never early. He's never late. It takes a little patience and a whole lot of faith, but it's worth the wait. I can't, but God can. Remember always, God has the final say. Right, we need to trust Him. Maybe if there's a no to something, He's got a different way. Maybe if something doesn't work out for you, trust God. The only thing we need to start doing is trusting Him. Have faith that He loves us and that He wants the best for us. If we start believing that, even a bad situation can turn out into something good. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You, Father, that You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You. I thank You, Father, for stirring our faith tonight. Thank You for answering prayers. Thank You for helping us, Lord God. Lord, we repent sometimes of our unbelief. But we say, Father, give us more faith. Help us to trust You more. Father, thank You that You are a good God. Thank You that we can trust You. Thank You that You will do the best for us because You've got the best for us in mind. I pray, Lord, that we will start trusting You more and more for things. And Father, where our faith is small, I pray that You will increase it. Give us more faith. Give us more faith, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that we will start going out. And when something small happens, that we will start testifying. Help us to testify. Help us to be bold and courageous, not to sit still and keep it for ourselves. Help us to build monuments. Say, but the Lord has done that on that day. The Lord is doing things in our lives. The Lord has changed this. I want to tell you my testimony of where I came from. I was here and now I'm here. The situation was impossible. There was no hope. But God changed it. Father, we worship You. We glorify You that all good things are from You. We thank You that You are the deliverer, that You are the healer, that You are our Savior, that one drop of Your blood is enough to change our lives. And we want to repent where we didn't have faith before, but Lord, from this day forth, we want to trust You. We want to have more faith. We want to see the supernatural happen in this church, Lord. Father, we want people to testify because they were laid hands upon them and You healed them, You delivered them. And thank You that it will happen tonight, Father. And it will continue to happen in this church. I pray for people to be bold to go out and start praying for people. To start putting out their faith and trusting You for more. Lord, we don't trust You for enough. We repent of that. But thank You, Father, that tonight is a night where this changes.